next morning, which actually also connects well with today's agenda on human-machine interaction. Over the past years, we have heard many delegations calling for the need to do more focused work on how IHL applies in the context of autonomous weapon systems, as this is considered a fundamental step to identify the types and uses of autonomous weapons that are or should be prohibited or otherwise regulated. In response to that call, CPRI conducted a study which explores what IHL respectively permits, prohibits, and requires in the development and use of autonomous weapons. The study, which is forthcoming, was among others informed by an in-person workshop CPRI organized some months ago, where we invited legal experts from states and academia to share their views on this question. And I would just like to quickly share with you a few takeaways from this work. The first takeaway relates to what IHL permits concerning reliance on autonomous processes in targeting. Here we found that states generally agree that there is nothing in existing IHL treaties or customary IHL that prevents humans from relying on autonomous processes when performing obligations under IHL. With that said, it seems widely accepted that the extent to which IHL permits humans to rely on autonomous processes is not unlimited. When asked why that is so, legal advisors invoked many reasons, especially three key reasons, which all related to the need to retain human agency. A first reason stressed by most experts we talked to is that some rules are specifically addressed to humans. A good example is the principle of precautions that explicitly addresses those who plan and decide upon attack. Second, according to a number of states, but not all, compliance with certain rules of IHL, and here I'm especially thinking of distinction and proportionality, require context-based decisions and value judgments that arguably cannot be automated and must be carried out by humans in close temporal proximity to the application of force. And this is regardless of how sophisticated technology may become. A third reason flows from the common, and I think by this time well-established view that accountability cannot be transferred to machines as IHL applies to humans. So IHL does not permit unlimited reliance on autonomous weapons, and the big question now is then, therefore, where the limits lie. Answering this question to start with depends on how specific prohibitions and requirements of IHL are understood in the context of autonomous weapons. This leads me to the second takeaway, which zooms in on what the rule on indiscriminate attacks prohibits in the context of autonomous weapons. A common reading of this rule is that the design and use of an autonomous weapon, which first of all cannot be directed at a specific military objective, or second, cannot be limited in its effects as required by IHL, would be off-limits. Identifying such off-limits design features and use cases is, however, not a straightforward task and would include clarifying a number of aspects, and let me just highlight two. First, there's a legal interpretation issue around the notion of specific military objective. Would this mean, in the context of system that function on a pre-programmed target profile, that a target can be a class of targets, or would it have to be more specific in the sense of one specific tank, for instance? Second, there's a debate around the issue of unpredictability, specifically whether this can be used as a criteria to prohibit certain design features and uses of autonomous weapons. This is the view of some, but it remains debated. Finally, moving to the third takeaway about what IHL, especially the rules guiding the conduct of hostilities, require from humans in the development and use of autonomous weapon systems. I'll keep it short, but just to mention that there seems to be agreement now at this stage that to ensure compliance, humans are at least required to reasonably foresee and administer the behavior and effects of the systems. However, what does that mean in practice? States and experts seem to agree that autonomous weapons users should at least possess some knowledge about this, how the system works and how it will interact with the environment of use. But it remains unclear how much certainty would be needed. And again, states also seem to agree that it's hard to answer in the abstract, and it would depend on the context, including characteristics of the system and the environment of use. So this brings me to the main recommendation from our work so far. One way to advance the discussion on what types and uses of autonomous weapons are or should be prohibited or subject to regulation would be by reviewing the rules of IHL in relation to concrete scenarios. Discussing concrete scenarios could be a useful exercise for three reasons. First, it could help states delineate design features and operational situations that would be either explicitly prohibited or subject to regulations. Second, it could help states specify what IHL requires from the different people involved in the development and use of autonomous weapons, who is required to do what, when, and where. For instance, when it comes to the obligation to take precautions in attack and constant care in military operations, what would that mean in the context of autonomous weapons? Finally, concrete scenarios would also help states identify circumstances and conditions that may be off limits, not as a matter of law, but as a matter of policy or ethical considerations. That concludes my intervention. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
I think the distinction